I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, Redcasters, be sure to subscribe to our channel and ring the bell to be notified about our latest videos. Go Big Red.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, David Gaspers, and I'm with Boomer.
Well, I'd just like to send a casual reminder out to Tony White that you're already in the San Diego with a Big Ten, so, you know, don't go looking too hard here just yet.
That's right, and we are not just a state school, obviously. Also, Redcast Rob.
Well, first off, let me make sure that I emphasize the fact that Iowa corn sucks.
Okay. We all know that. What else you got for me, Rob?
Well, I mean, it is Thanksgiving week, so I guess I could start off by saying that I'm super thankful, as I'm actually the only member of the Redcast now officially paid by Allo Fiber, my internet provider,
Rob.
And Boomers too, because I am now officially an employee of Allo Fiber Colorado.
They didn't call us for a resume check, Rob. I'm pretty disappointed in that.
I wouldn't put us on a resume either, so that's all right.
Anyway. Well, it's on my LinkedIn, and it is on my resume, and but I put honky down because I figured if anyone was going to say anything nice about me, it'd be him.
Yeah, no, that's a good call, Rob. You would not want to put me on there. That would have been disastrous.
You know, Dave, you say such things, and you make people like Vegas Jer here extremely happy, you know, when you say stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is you like me. I know you do.
No, you're we're a good friend of mine, Rob.
We are. We're very good friends. I'm talking about maybe coming out on Friday to watch the game with you.
Swing on down. You know, let's get ourselves a victory.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a dive into this Iowa game a little bit and look back just a little bit on what happened up in Madison. We also have a whole bunch of games for the BetCast, including some special picks by Vegas Jer. I'm going to test Boomer's knowledge of trophy games as we go through these. Maybe I'll learn a few things too. Let's dive in big picture right now, Rob, and talk scarlet colored glasses, where we dissect all things Husker football. And let's start with the Kool-Aid side of it. Ty Robinson coming back. Hey, what do you think, Rob?
I think it's a huge bump for next year's defensive squad, which,
absolutely,
you know, we're already a really young team, right? Like, we got a lot of freshmen that are just, I mean, there's an entire unit that's basically all freshmen and sophomores coming out onto the field in every game this year. So I think that all it's going to do is just bring in some, continued leadership from a player like Ty.
He's a grown man, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been in school now for 13 years.
Second PhD.
Maybe he doesn't feel like he's gonna go pro or something like that, so he's just going for his PhD.
No, I think he's going pro. I think,
well, he is, yeah, he's definitely trying to make a joke here, Dave. I'm saying, you know, he's gonna come out of there and they're gonna start calling him Dr. Ty before he leaves campus. Like, he'll have
Doctor, I mean, Rob Zadica could have actually stayed through his entire, like, doctorate.
Maybe that's who he's taking advice from. You never know.
You know, Boomer, I mean, how much do you think NIL has a factor in something like this? In the sense that I feel like, I'm sure a rookie salary in the NFL is nothing to sneeze at, even if you're a undrafted free agent or a sixth or seventh round pick, as long as you actually make the roster. But you got to make that 53-man roster to get those paychecks coming in. Whereas Ty Robinson, I'd like to think that he's going to be taken care of pretty well in NIL next year as a 6-year senior.
Yeah, I think it definitely certainly can play a role, especially for those players that, like you said, are either going to be the undrafted free agents or maybe kind of a low-level round pick that think, hey, maybe if I come back for another year of college, get more film, you know, I can bump that draft stock up a bit and still get paid to do so, you know, and especially since I think he graduated in May, actually. So,
yeah,
you know, as far as school goes, it's, you know, not going to be a big time suck, I guess, for the, you know, commitment.
Yeah, yeah, he can manage
going forward. So, yeah, he can focus
his class load. On,
yeah, lighten that a bit and, you know, kind of just focus on football and, you know, what he wants to do with that. So I think it will play a role for those types of players that, you know, that are good enough
raise
to
go that
for
draft stock.
Want to do a little something more. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having him and Nash back is, you know, huge. Really the anchor to that defense. And we're going to lose a few guys, Quentin Newsome, Reimer, a few others. It would be interesting to see if Henrich comes back. But yeah, real positive sign here, regardless of what happens on Friday. But end of the day, we want to see wins more than losses. And we suffered through three very tight losses. We're too used to these close games, right, Boomer? I mean, it's been something for the entire show, the Redcast, where we just have close loss after close loss. And the undefeated October does feel like a long time ago. The team just has not been able to put quite a few enough points out there for that defense to hold up, and we lose in overtime to Wisconsin. You know, to Wisconsin's credit, Tanner Mordecai played his best game probably all year. They were able to lean into us still a little bit. They did get some yardage on us running the ball, but 17 points in regulation, you got to be able to win those games. And Chubba Purdy did his part early, right, with two touchdowns in the first two drives, but then seven straight drives that end in no points until we get the three at the end. General thoughts on the loss there in Madison and Boomer?
Well, first off, like you said, we're so used to these close losses. It's actually been a real time saver for us. We've just been replaying the same podcast for the last five years.
Yeah, yeah, I said the same thing so many times.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, that game was just, it started so well, and it was just, I was kind of dumbstruck to see how fast we started and how crisp the offense looked those first two drives. And then once we went forward on that fourth down and got stopped, the momentum just completely seemed to, you know, swing Wisconsin's way on that. The offense never quite got that mojo back there the first two drives. I don't know, you know, how much it was Wisconsin scheming a little better, maybe respecting Purdy's speed a little more, because they certainly looked like they were cut, you know, flat-footed on his first touchdown run. I mean, he blew by everybody, and they were just completely discombobulated on that. And so maybe they respected that a little more, schemed a little differently for those runs. And it just didn't click for so long in that game. You know, if you'd have told me at that point, you know, at the end of the first quarter, it'd been 14-0, and we'd hold Wisconsin to 17 points in regulation and still lose. It's just, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of amazing on that. And you know, there's a lot of factors that go into that, like you said, and, you know, special teams, I'm sure we'll touch on too here, you know, in a bit. But yeah, it was just kind of a disappointing one score loss, just been a string of those, and it almost never seemed to end.
Yeah. Rob, you know, offensively, Chubba does look the part out there, at least with the drives that, you know, produced points. He looks pretty comfortable out there. He looked dynamic running the ball. The 55-yard run that Boomer alluded to, Wisconsin did send a blitzer in there, I think maybe a cornerback blitz, and they weren't in position, and he definitely did blow by the defense, but they did kind of settle in a little bit on that and was able to stop that. But what do you think about Chubba Purdy going forward?
Well, I mean, to the kid's credit, he looked really calm in the pocket. He did not seem like he had the happy feet
that made some throws that we haven't seen in a while.
And he made some throws that we haven't seen in a while. He missed some throws like we've seen, but I mean, he made some throws. He looked very comfortable. And man, I will tell you, you know, the offensive line looked great out there, like, you know, holding an open for him. I feel like we threw the ball too much. I'll just say it straight up. I feel like we should have just continued to run. You know, there was a lot of, you know, 6, 7, 8 yard runs that we just kept breaking throughout the game. I think Chubba would have been best used in a role similar to what Harburg was doing, with maybe some, you know, play action, play action type stuff, right? Like, because, you know, it just felt like after a while, they were just continuing. They just started like blitzing him, you know, and even that, and our offensive line was holding it. But I don't know, man.
Sounds like you're not sold quite yet.
Well, I mean, I'm not sold on any of our quarterbacks, really. So you're the question you're asking me right now is a hard one to answer because I'm not 100% sold. I liked him. I would say it was probably the best quarterback like performance
of the year
of the entire season. He looked the part while out there, which I sure hope he did because it's in his DNA. And, you know, but at the same point, you know, God, there was just some throws and some plays where they should be easy plays and he was missing them. Right.
Yeah. So, I hear you. I mean, it's not a finished product. I do think that if to biggest Jared, just his point there, I mean, if we could go beat Iowa and maybe get a bowl game, I think it's kind of interesting. You know, Chuba is like, this is like his fourth year in college, it feels like. I could be wrong on that, Boomer.
I think it is.
You know, Florida State and then the COVID year. And then,
yeah, he might be gone for a doctorate too at this rate. So,
yeah. The reality is that, I mean, he's had injuries. He's been banged up. He's still banged up right now. I'll be curious to see if he has the groin surgery, if that takes him out of spring ball. Feels like his best shot to put any sort of stake in the ground to be a starting quarterback next year at Nebraska is this next game and potentially a bowl game, right? Because he may not get that chance in spring ball. And regardless of how well he plays, they're likely going to bring in another quarterback or two because they just need more competition. There's not enough depth in that room. There's only three scholarship quarterbacks. You should have four at least. So, Vegas Jerry says, who sold Redcast Rob? I thought he would be calling for the Chuba Heisman in 2025. I agree. I mean, like, I thought maybe I'd be giving Rob a softball there, but he was actually very honest with his assessment.
It's been a really long season, guys. All right. Like, Kool-Aid season for me is going to be – if they win on Friday, I will be drinking the bowl Kool-Aid for sure, and I'm going to feel really good about it. I just – you know, I'm like – I'm struggling right now, man. I'm not going to lie. It's been hurting my heart quite a bit. Like, just – you know, it's like I want more, and I feel like I'm not getting it out of this relationship.
Well, it sounds like you're becoming a true Husker fan. I appreciate that, Rob.
I know, and I've got this Kool-Aid award sitting back, and I'm sure by Friday morning everything is going to be fine and it will change. But
everybody handles losses differently and processes, right? I'm usually one that goes into a shell. I don't read any of the articles, at least for 24 hours. I totally avoid all this stuff. I haven't listened to sports radio until the day before I started to prepare for this show. I just avoid it because, but I can't stop thinking about it. Right. I mean, like literally I sit there and just think about it the whole time. Right. And so while we're talking about that, let's throw up the scoring explosion really quick, just for the fun of it. And I'll ask Boomer about the difference between the last drive versus Maryland and the last drive against Wisconsin in regulation, where on the surface, you might think those are very similar drives, but in reality, it felt like very different situations. And the Maryland game, you're tied 10-10, you're at home, and it feels like a field goal would be enough to win it or at least get you to overtime. And, you know, we've all dissected that interception in the end zone, which went wrong for so many different reasons. This time around, we drive down again. We're down by three, though, right, Boomer? Very different scenario. An offense that has had seven straight unsuccessful drives. Suddenly, they're in the situation to put points on the board. And Matt Rhule addressed it in the press conference. I mean, he actually slow played and let that clock drain down some to make sure he wasn't going to give Wisconsin the ball back. They took one shot at the end zone. Calling a timeout earlier, they could have probably got at least two more shots in before having to go for the field goal. I feel like, how do you feel that was managed?
Yeah, I think poorly. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I know some people say, you know, it's okay to play safe in those scenarios, but you kind of highlighted the differences already. You know, when you're playing Maryland, you know, a field goal will win you the game at that point. So you don't need to go for that touchdown, you know, right then and there, because you've got the defense, which you hopefully can trust, you know, and even if, you know, Maryland can drive a bit and get a field goal out of it, well, you're still tied, fine. But, you know, you're putting yourself in a position to win with the field goal in that scenario. You know, against Wisconsin, you're a field goal just ties you up and you're playing for overtime. And what the worst part about that is, yeah, okay, so your defense can go out and play in overtime as well and, you know, do well in that. But then you've got to count on your offense doing something in overtime. You've got to score again to win. I mean,
yeah, which they haven't had a lot of success with at that point.
Yeah, that's that was not a you know,
we're not a good run zone team to begin with.
Yeah, and we've kind of shown that, you know, Alvano isn't always the most trustworthy kicker, you know, in some of these scenarios. Yeah. Kind of the kicks he missed were long, but, you know, he hasn't had the greatest, you know, record of success this year. So
if he would have made the one at the end of the half,
yeah,
right, Boomer,
yeah.
If he would make the one at the end of the half, we're not in that situation.
A field goal wins the game. Or if you felt you could go for it, you know, it was a longer kick in that first fourth and two that we didn't make, you know, and you go up 17 to nothing at that point.
Oh, God, don't get Rob started on that.
Yeah, he's got the distance for that kind of a kick, but, you know, accuracy may be a different question. But, yeah, it's kind of a different scenario, and just the time that you just kind of let elapse at the end of that game. You know, it's something that, you know, another one of the many things that a lot of coaches do that drive me nuts is just surrendering that time. You know, you're not taking advantage of it, or like at the end of the third quarter, you got 30 seconds left, you don't call a play, let the clock run out. You know, how many times do you want that time at the end of the game? You wish you had that extra 20 or 30 seconds to try to go for that win, and just so many coaches just don't seem to do that, and you know, it's kind of bit this staff a couple times, clock management. You know, we've joked about clock manager coordinators being a thing coach staff should have. And honestly, I think a lot of them should, or at least an analyst.
Yeah.
I mean, our DMs are open. So if anyone's listening, you know,
yeah.
We're here. We watch a lot of football and have nothing better to do.
So. You know, Dave, I put some, you know, trust in you in a private text thread about, you know, questioning whether or not we should have kicked it there on fourth and two from
Rob. Yeah, I mean, Alvano, if you don't want to talk about it, don't talk about it.
Oh, I do. No, but Alvano has the distance on there. And did he miss next one? Sure. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think that, I don't know. It's just such a hard call, I guess, at that point. I guess we just have to embrace the fact that we are just a crappy Iowa when it comes to, you know, we depend on our defense to set our offense up, hope we can score enough points to beat the other team. And that's just who we are this year. Only somehow Iowa continues to figure out a way to win, and we continue to figure out a way to lose those games. And that's probably the most heartbreaking thing again this year, because these one score losses don't feel like the other ones. You know what I mean? Like it feels like we're playing so much. Yeah. From like the past year,
it
feels like we're playing so much better in the position. Yeah. It's just at the same time, it's just kind of like, that's why it's more frustrating. That's why it's more heartbreaking. That's why you see me kind of down a little bit right now at sitting at 5-6, hoping we win this, you know, on Friday, or knowing we're going to win, but hoping we win on Friday. You know, it's like, that for me is the hard part. And we're talking about a fourth and two where we didn't kick and we tried to go for it. We ended up turning the ball back around. And that was almost kind of like, it was that. And there was one other play that I remember Honky pointing out too.
I'll get to that one.
Those two plays just kind of felt like the turning point in the game, where all of a sudden Wisconsin was like, maybe we do give two craps about this game. And so now we're going to go ahead and play.
A couple things. First off, I guess, you know, I mean, we have a pretty robust text thread during these games. I was pretty silent at that point because I just didn't trust anything about Wisconsin quitting, right? I mean, there are several times, Wisconsin's going to quit. I'm like, we aren't that lucky. It doesn't work that way against Nebraska. They quit versus Northwestern. They're not going to quit versus Nebraska. That's just not how it works with us, right? So I knew that it wasn't over at 14.
I never thought it was either, for the record.
The fourth and two, to your point, Alvano has the leg for that. I don't know what the win situation was or anything like that, but I guess I'd run the numbers. I mean, I'd like to think that we have enough analytics, and everyone does these days, of what's your odds of converting fourth and two. At their 31 or something like that, I think, or 35, it was probably would have been a 51-yard kick. I remember doing the calculation.
51, 52.
Yeah. So it was a 34-yard line. What's the odds of converting fourth and two? making a 51 or 52 yard field goal. I mean, they might be about the same or very similar. So, I mean, I think they probably were like, well, you know, we punch this, get these 2 yards and we either get a closer field goal, which a higher percentage, or we're going to score a touchdown. This game maybe is out of reach. Right. So I don't blame them for going for it at all in the 4th and 2. You know, they easily could have got those 3 points at the end of the half, and Alvano missed the field goal from like 42. So that would have broken that dry streak of 7 straight drives, right? So that makes a difference. The end of the game scenario, I felt like Chuba, we mentioned how he's kind of a dynamic runner. He's more elusive than Harburg, for example. Harburg's got just as much, if not faster, straightaway speed. But he doesn't have the lateral quickness and the kind of instinctive running that Chuba feels like he has. You know, who was the number 7 dual threat quarterback coming out of high school, and he looked like it. I feel like if I was that situation with 50 seconds left at the 18, I would have probably called something like what Wisconsin had called several times, which was a Tanner Mordecai draw, right? Like, you snap the ball, you have your wide receivers run routes, and you count to 2 Mississippi, and you take off, right? Just see what happens, right? That would have been safe. And you know, chaos breaks loose there. Chuba can make something happen. But, hey, it didn't work. I'm not the coach. And here we are, 5-6, and we got to turn the corner. Anything else on offense, guys? No,
we got about as much stock on his offense as the Huskers have to show. So,
well, let's talk about the play that you were going to bring up, Rob. And I think this was the play of the game defensively that was not made, and that was Buda Wright's missed sack.
There was a few of those.
It was the last Wisconsin touchdown drive before overtime, obviously. And we had him in a situation where if Wright brings him down clean, he comes in on a blitz totally clean, it's suddenly they're off schedule by 10 yards at least. And I think there's a good shot that we get Wisconsin to punt again. And eventually that offense would have broken through. But he whiffs on it. Mordecai actually makes positive yards on it. Boomer, I can't remember if that was a third down or not, but it was just a backbreaking misplay there, and Wisconsin ultimately takes the lead. Defense played really well; wasn't their best performance, though, I'd say. Thoughts?
No, I tend to agree. I mean, it started well when you had some momentum with your offense, you know, scoring early and keeping Wisconsin from doing a whole lot early on in the game, and then they just kind of seemed to figure a few things out. I mean, you know, once Mordecai kind of played, I mean, he played better than I thought he would, especially given the hand injuries. The announcers were more than happy to keep pointing out that he couldn't take a snap, you know, under center, which in a lot of ways limited what Wisconsin could do, you know, especially in the short yardage game. They couldn't line up under center and do some quick handoffs. So that's one of the reasons I was surprised they went for it on fourth down as much as they did, just for the limitations of what they had, you know, and they passed on a couple of field goal chances in the game, especially in that second half. But it was the defense plays well enough to win these games. But with the offense production, what it is, they have to play, you know, just titanically great to win. And that's just hard to ask for week in and week out, you know, especially against even, you know, decent opponents. And Wisconsin, when they're playing well, is playing okay. You know, you got Mordecai in there. You had Braylon Allen, wasn't 100%, but he was in there, you know, playing a fairly gutsy performance as an injured running back. So they had things that worked. And, you know, it's kind of like with Tua Tagovailoa, you get, you know, a mobile quarterback and meet some trouble for this defense in a few ways. So that's something that's been a challenge for them. You know, like the last couple of weeks, I think we managed, what, 1 sack each week against Maryland and Wisconsin?
Yeah, so that's not enough.
Yeah, certainly not enough. And again, and no turnovers, I don't think, against Wisconsin. They didn't turn the ball over, did they? I was shocked he didn't fumble one of those snaps at some point, you know, because they're all got done.
Yeah.
Especially they almost dropped 2 or 3, like in the first drive. So I completely expected them to drop one later on in the game and have a chance to recover, but they never did. So it was just, you know, a few things that just we haven't been able to generate with an otherwise great defense, sacks and turnovers. We just haven't had them a lot in these last couple games, and you know, it's just not enough for the offense to score and win. And in third down, what was our third down conversion rate for both teams? It seemed Wisconsin was converting a decent number of those third and long, but that's been a problem, you know, for years with Nebraska. Yep. It's odd. We seem to have the same problems quite a bit. Once again, same show for the last 5 years. So, all right, folks, you know.
Boomer, let's talk special teams a little bit. What's up with the punting? I mean, that was just backbreaking, man. I mean, like.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we tweeted that out in the middle, you know, after that, what, the 19-yard punt or whatever we had. You just cannot cede field position like we have been doing in games. You know, punt coverage has been pretty good. You know, no one's breaking you know, huge returns for us. Kickoffs are what they are. Half the teams kick them out of the end zone anyway these days. But, you know, the punting end of it, you know, whether it's returns, you know, we're still not great at those. But, man, the punting was just rough. And, yeah, we've seen, you know, we've joked about it with Iowa. They have their all-star, you know, Heisman punting candidate. But
they do.
That's one of the reasons they win games. That's one of the reasons they're, you know, won the West and have two losses. And, you know, we're 5-6 right now playing for our lives with bowl eligibility. Is, you know, when you've got an effective punter, you can flip field positions. You put your defense in a better position. You're increasing those chances to for your offense to get the ball in a better position. And if your offense is struggling, you can't cede those kind of yards in the long run. And, you know, you're asking a lot of your defense yet again to try to make up for that.
Yeah.
At some point, it's going to break. It just will. You know, odds are against it.
I mean, Wisconsin
been able to do that week in and week out every series.
I'd love to better understand the technique there. If you watch Bishini kick, sometimes, especially if it's, you know, or around midfield or so, it's like he's got a wedge shot in golf, and it's a 65-yard club, and he only wants to hit it 35 or 40, so he's doing the three-quarter swing. You know, I mean, his leg isn't fully extended, right? And if you can do that and you can put him inside the 15, perfect. But unfortunately, he was coming up short of the green, essentially, right? I mean, he would kick and it would go only to the 25. And I'm like, well, if you're only going to get to the 25 and they can return it, you might as well just kick it into the end zone and make sure they can't return the dang thing, right? Go ahead and kick it clear.
I was going to make a short game joke about you, Dave, but I decided to hold back.
Hey, I've been practicing, Rob. You know,
you're always practicing, friend. You're always practicing.
But it's frustrating to see that because it looks like he's trying to execute the type of thing you'd expect Iowa to do, which is put the ball right down there at the goal line and make it really tough for Wisconsin, and you just can't get it done.
Yeah, exactly. It hasn't been just against Wisconsin. It's been kind of a year-long problem. You know, we even saw it in Colorado, you know, when you got high altitude, he wasn't booming punts like you'd think he could. So,
yeah,
that's something they definitely have to take a look at, you know, in the offseason. Is that something they can correct? You know, is it a technique thing, like you said, Dave? Does he just need to work on that? Just kicking it, just go ahead and kick and let it go. And the other, another big, you know, missed play in the game was could have blocked a punt. It was that close.
You know,
stretch out for that.
Like he didn't stretch out right.
Yeah, he just like ran right by it. You know, and
that's what's going to take.
You know, yeah.
But
it was there
on Friday.
Just came through basically unblocked. I think he was surprised he came through that easy and thought he was going to crash into the punter if he did much. But man, you were that. Just put the arms out, even if you're running sideways. You know, see what happens.
Yep.
I mean, at that point, you either block it or take the penalty. Like. Just do one or the other, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're at that point, if you're
at that point, like take your chance, because if you block it, you're not going to get the penalty, right? Like, I mean, that's kind of the rule, right? So just either block it or take the penalty, like, but you've got to do it. And for the record, Westside just went up, I believe 55, about to go up 56 to nothing against Elkhorn South.
You're a Class A champion right there.
Yeah, I'm guessing Elkhorn South is not going to come back with under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
No. I say that game is over.
Bunch of
Well, let's talk a little bit, Rob, about what Nebraska needs to do to win on Friday, and it I think we're hitting on it. I mean, I feel like and we'll get to the spread here in a second, right? But the over-under is at 26 and a half. It's the lowest over-under of all time. There's, jokes out there. You know, these betting experts that have their own models have negative point totals being scored and crazy things. It doesn't make any sense. And we know how Iowa is going to score because they did it this last week. I mean, they are going to score with a punt return or a pick six or something. Even with Cooper DeGene out, that's how they're going to score points.
The key to beating Iowa is doing exactly what we did last year, and that is go up big on them and then just hold on for your dear life because you know they're going to
come back. I mean,
that's there you go.
In that situation, you had Trey Palmer. And they didn't have anybody that could cover Trey Palmer. Mm-hmm. We do not have that matchup this time.
Well, I mean,
we got a couple of
freshmen who got that speed on them, and they are a little bit beat up. They're not Trey Palmer yet, though. They are not Trey Palmer yet. No, but you know what? You can always maybe they come out. I mean, we got a couple of kids that are Nebraska natives that know what it means to beat Iowa.
Yeah,
you know, this is the Super Bowl right here. You know what I mean? The NFC Championship game, whatever you want to call it. Maybe they go out. And they just have big games. Maybe Chubba and them have just been working on some of those routes all week long, just over and over, staying late after practice, going to the park, you know, with some sodas and chips and salsa or something, you know.
I have no idea what you're talking about now, Rob. But, I mean, I think what my point is, I hear you, Rob. We need to have probably a big play or two on offense, as we just did against Wisconsin. I think what we will get us over the top, though, is a special teams play, right? Or a defensive score. We need to generate points somehow outside of our offensive system to win the game. I think that's the only way it's going to happen. So let's see. Because, I mean, Iowa's probably going to do it themselves, right? So we either need to keep Iowa from not doing it or do it ourselves or some combination of that because we can't let them outscore us on defense or special teams. We'll leave it at that.
Facts.
Other thoughts on the Iowa game, guys? What do you think?
Well, unless they plan to sit a lot of their players and, you know, hope for the keeping fresh for the Big 12 or Big 10 championship game. So there's been rumors.
It's going to be cold, right?
Yeah, it'll be cold. So yeah, definitely cold. I don't think snow's in the forecast at the moment, but it'll be a frosty game. So
there will be snow. Actually, there will be snow, they're saying, on Thursday or Friday. I know there is supposed to be here in Colorado. And I remember seeing
some, I don't think there's any precipitation plan for that
or plan for Lincoln at all. Okay. Well, I can pull up my handy dandy weather app here real quick and look. And so far, it's a 0% chance. Yeah. All the snow is windy.
I've seen 11 to 12 mile per hour winds, 29 degrees. Kick off.
That's gonna be Nebraska's gonna be windy because Colorado blows. So
no,
and Iowa sucks, right? So far,
and Iowa sucks. So the two things together is going to cause wind in Lincoln.
Yeah. Now we'll break this down maybe a little bit more.
I would just hope, and I'm going to say this, and that we can call this our segue. I just hope that the Heroes Trophy stays in Lincoln.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Nebraska betting action here, but I would say of note that Iowa opened up as the favorite and it quickly moved within 36 hours to Nebraska being the favorite. Now it up to 2.5
on almost all platforms.
Yeah, 2 to 2.5. So it's really interesting to see that much movement that quick in the week. Tells you that there is some really big bets coming in on the Nebraska side for whatever reason. So I don't know how they know stuff, but this happened last week. It happened late, but like the Northwestern Purdue game, Purdue was favored, when we did our show on Thursday. By Friday, I think by Friday it was flipped, like in the morning, moved four points just like that. Huge bets came in on Northwestern. Sure, Northwestern wins the game. So I'm hoping they know something that we don't.
Every kid with only three games under their shirt, with one more game to burn with their red shirt, it's going to just be on the field. They're just going to be rotating so much. It's going to confuse Iowa's offense and defense. And we're going to go out. And I will say this, and I'm going to call him out because he said he came here just to see you make fun of me, Dave. Vegas Jared texted me earlier this week and said we still win by three touchdowns. So there you go. Vegas Jared has a prediction. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting. Anything else, guys? Nebraska basketball won again on Saturday and looked great.
All they do is win, no matter
what. 5-0, is that right?
5-0. That's right. Who do they think they are? The Arizona Wildcats? My Lord.
Yeah, no kidding. I think most NCAA champions start 5-0, don't they? So, I mean,
it's science now.
So, yeah.
It is science. I absolutely agree, Boomer. I mean, they look good. They really do. They look like they look like an NCAA Power 5 basketball team right now. And I don't know if I've ever said that about this right before.
They're constructed the way that Hoiberg wants to see his team look.
Yeah.
We'll see here. Yeah. As
Maybe we should have given Frost 5 years. I don't know. You know,
we did. He wasn't.
The joke, Dave. Yeah. Thank you.
You're not funny, Rob.
Why are you laughing? All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's head into the BetCast.
The BetCast picks of the week.
All right, guys. So we've got a whole slew of games. We'll go fast. A lot of these, I don't know if I have a hot take on any of these, but these are almost all trophy games outside of maybe a few games that I put on here specifically because of producer Skip or Vegas Chair. I actually asked for Vegas Chair's kind of picks of his week. So I've notated those. So we'll call those out. We'll see how well he does. Let's start with the game on Thanksgiving night. Ole Miss going to Starkville and take on Mississippi State. I've got this is a reverse. Sorry, guys. Ole Miss 9.5. Ole Miss is favored by 9.5. Over under at 55.5. This is a situation where I took Louisiana Monroe last week at 37.5 to cover versus Ole Miss, knowing that Ole Miss had a Thursday game in a short turnaround. Sure enough, Ole Miss did not cover that 37.5. Here you got Mississippi State, 5-6, trying to get bowl eligible, but already moved on from their kind of interim coach, Lane Kiffin, trying to win 10 games, I believe. What do you think here? Egg Bowl.
Oh, Egg Bowl is usually full of fun and excitement. So either there's a fight or somebody makes, dog peeing motions on the field gestures, and crossing the game. Yeah, this is always entertaining to watch and should be just the thing to wind down a Thursday, after stuff in our faces. But, go ahead and give me Ole Miss on this. I don't know what Mississippi State has in the tank here. So.
Yep. Rob, any thoughts? Egg Bowl.
I mean, it's going to be entertaining. 9.5 seems kind of high in a rivalry game like this.
Sure.
I would say take Ole Miss to cover.
I'm already got a bet down for the under. I like trends. This game has hit the under 5 years in a row. To your point, Rob, rivalry games can get a little sticky. Sometimes they have some messy weather down there on Thanksgiving. And so under hits a lot in this game, and they have not collectively gone over 55 points in any of the last five matchups. So we'll see. All right, let's go to Vegas Jared's first special in Cincinnati at Kansas. Kansas favored by 6. I believe I got that right this time. Over under 58. Vegas Jared likes taking the points there. And thinking Cincy will stay within 6. You like Jerry's pick here, Rob?
No, I'm going KU.
All right. Now, the Kansas State did beat KU last week, 31-27.
That's a rivalry game, though. This is not your classic Big 12 matchup that it appeared to be.
Boomer, if this was a trophy game, what would you make it up to be?
Oh, God. It could be like the Fox Sports 2 we needed filler for our conference trophy. So that's, why Cincinnati.
A Bearcat and a Jayhawk.
Yeah, the
Bear Hawk Trophy.
Bear Hawk, yeah.
The J-Cat.
That sounds awful. Yeah, the J-Cat. Yeah, that sounds bad.
It could be a really ugly trophy with the two animals kind of merged.
Oh, it would be an ugly
trophy. No, it could be the J-Cat Trophy, and they could have, like, some guy, like, playing, like, jazz musician because he's a J-Cat, right? Like...
Okay, I like that
let's
one.
Let's go with that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's
go. Why not? Yeah.
All right. Well, Vegas Jer thinks Cincinnati will cover that. KU, I have no idea what their quarterback situation is.
No, I don't either. That's why this game's a mystery to me. So yeah.
All right. Here's one that I brought up just because of producer Skip and a season win total over under Colorado State at 5-6 right now. Favored by 6 at Hawaii, over under 54.5. I have Colorado State with their win total at 5. And so I am at a push right now. But if they can win, and they are favored here by almost a touchdown, I can get my my season win total over the 5. And I take that home. Rob, what do you think?
CSU's just going bowling, man. This is a game. I mean, come on, talk about a perfect setup for them. They get the last game against a team like Hawaii, who's absolutely terrible. You know, they've got 5 wins already. They need the 6 to go bowling. Hawaii's probably thinking about, like, surf lessons and you know, trying to get off the island.
Their season probably started already, you know.
Yeah, and so, I mean, CSU by at least 2 or 3 scores.
All right. I like that one. All right, Boomer. I put this one up thinking it had like a shillelagh of some sort as a trophy, but that's USC and it's
right.
It's
you would Notre think they'd Dame. Be a shillelagh with Notre Dame. No, they play for, I think it's the Legends Trophy. It looks like a kind of like a lamp your grandmother would have had in her room, or maybe something she keeps candy in, you know, on a little big chunk of hard candy that's all, you know, kind of worked together over the years. But yeah, I think it's the Legends Trophy. So.
Well, this will be an ACC matchup going forward. We got the Fighting Irish minus 26 going to the farm, taking on Stanford over under at 51.5. But yeah, a future ACC opponent for Notre Dame here.
As is tradition, you know, yeah, it's just, that's an odd thing to
Well,
say.
The trophy can continue that way, at least.
Exactly. Know? So, yep.
But, I wonder if Notre Dame will request Stanford to be one of their annual 5
that's
ACC
a good question.
Matches.
Yeah. Just, like, I suppose they could. Always play Stanford. Yeah. So. And as for the game itself, Notre Dame, that's a lot of points, but
a lot of points.
Stanford, they can barely get out of the teens most days. So, yeah, go ahead and give me Notre Dame on that one. They can cover that, I think. I don't think Stanford's got a whole lot in them.
All right. Let's see what we got here. This is the Flutie Bowl. I don't think it's officially called that, but. Miami, University of Miami at Boston College. Miami's favored by 9.5. Vegas Jer loves the Eagles here. I've seen this number come down to 8.5 already since I made this chart. So the line is moving. Rob, are you back in Vegas Jer this time with the
I am. Eagles? I am. This is a game where it would not surprise me to see Miami figure out a way to screw it up. They've done it a few times this season.
Yeah.
They're about due.
Obviously a disappointing season for Miami. Boston College is already bowl eligible and has been plucky this year.
Yep.
Boomer, any thoughts on Vegas Jer's pick for BC?
I think Miami can win this game. I mean, they are slumping. I think they've lost 3 in a row, but I think Boston College can cover 9.5. This would be like a 6-point win or so for Miami. Assuming they don't try to run the ball, you know, to run the clock out and fumble it again. So just not a given with the Hurricanes. So, yeah.
True. All right. Let's swing out west here and knock out some rivalry games that may be going away. This one in particular, Boomer. We have Oregon State going to Eugene. Ducks are favored by 13.5, over under at 62. This is the Civil War.
Yes. And a trophy is at stake in this one. I mean, can you name it?
It's the Platypus Trophy.
Correct. It has feet like a duck, but it's furry, so which makes sense for the, you know, the beavers and the ducks playing together. Yeah, definitely a fun trophy, and it would be one I'd hate to see go away. You know, we'll cover, you know, one of the Pac-12 rivalries that's going to stick around for a few years here in a few games. But, Oregon's got a lot to play for here. They're, you know, still trying to get themselves in the playoffs, and they're trying to position themselves as being the the marquee team in the Pac-12 if they can avenge that loss to Washington in the title game. So they're going to go all out in this one. It's at home. Last time they're going to play Oregon State probably for a while. So give me the Ducks in this one to cover.
Yeah, if this was in Corvallis, I would think that the Beavs would have a good shot. They came really close against Washington last week. Rob, thoughts?
Oh, Oregon all the way. I
easy mean, cover it at two
easy,
touchdowns.
Okay. Easy cover. I mean, they'll probably. I would take also the first half over. I think Oregon. It's only like six in the first half or something like that right now. So,
it's under a touchdown. I think spread so. Is okay.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay. All right. Swinging down, Rob's now very suddenly a very proud Arizona basketball fan, even though he gave up his hooded sweatshirt last March when they lost.
Oh, is it still at your house?
Oh, yeah. It's right behind me.
Okay. I'll come pick it up in March again.
Yeah, exactly.
I have an Arizona shirt that's older than like.
Well, the Wildcats are playing some good football under Jed Fish down there. 10-point favorites versus Arizona State over under at 50 at Sun Devil Stadium.
I don't even know how it's so close, Dave. I really don't.
Arizona State has been playing a lot of teams tough. They had beat UCLA, but they have gotten blown out at times too.
I mean, Arizona looks like the best team in the Pac-10, whatever it is right now. They look like one of the best. I should say one of the best teams between them and Washington. I think
and Oregon.
Yeah, and Oregon too. I agree.
But I think Oregon's
Arizona right now. I'm not looking at records. I'm not looking at, but right now, like overall complete team, the way Arizona's playing, I think they compete with anybody in there. I think they compete with a lot of teams across the country right now. They're playing great football. So I mean, and that's not just me being a homer. I normally expect to watch Arizona and to look like trash. I was hoping that we would look like Arizona does right now, but we just don't, you know. So.
Yep. All right. Wildcats favored by 10. Should be interesting. All right. Boomer, one of the favorites right here. Apple Cup. Wazoo at Washington for the last time in a while. 16.5-point favorites. The Huskies are over under at 68.5. What does the Apple Cup look like?
Just like a standard trophy, and there's kind of a apple sort of thing on the top of it. Yeah, it's. I was hoping it'd just be a gigantic apple. Of
gigantic
some sort.
Apple.
Yeah, but sadly no. But yeah, not that exciting. Or maybe like an iBook or something like, or MacBook or something. But no, they haven't gone quite that corporate yet. But yeah, they actually have said they're going to keep playing this series at least through 2028. So they've got
This one is continuing. Excellent.
Yeah, they're going to continue this for a little while yet. So That's good. Hopefully it keeps.
Oh yeah, yeah. They announced that yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, it was very quite recent news on that. So, you know, these rivalries can continue if schools want them to. There's no reason they have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I know there's a lot of bitter feelings about it and people complain, you know, when teams leave conferences, but these don't have to end. I mean, they can keep going if schools
want. Are they
going
to get played early in the year or
I don't know if they announced like when they plan to play them. I imagine it will be, you know, kind of just a non-conference game.
I'd be curious.
Hard to see them penciling this in the Big Ten schedule lately.
Did you say Oregon State's also continuing?
No, I have not seen that one is going announced yet. Okay. That one, as far as I know, is possibly ending. You know, they haven't said anything yet, as far as I know on that. But
gotcha.
Yes, yeah, this is an interesting game. It's a lot of points. I mean, Washington's kind of been playing close to the edge lately on a lot of this. But I think Washington State can cover that. I think I'd still take Washington to win the game. But I think it'll be a little closer than 16.5.
What do you think about the 68.5 over under, Rob?
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points.
See what Rob thinks. Yeah.
That is a lot of points, right? I mean, that would be like a 40 to, I mean, even 40 to 35 wouldn't even, well, yeah, I guess that would cover that, it. But yeah. But
well, last week, Washington, Oregon State was 63.5, 64.5. I don't know where it exactly closed. And it didn't come close. It was 22-20. So
I just Wazoo is one of the more disappointing teams, right? Like they started out so hot, right? They were one of like one of the 9 ranked teams in the Pac-12 to start the season, however many they had. I don't know, man. This again, it's a rivalry game. 68.5 seems really high. 16.5 feels really high. I mean, I would take Wazoo to cover in the under.
Okay. All right. Let's take another one of Vegas Jer's favorite bets here. And he's taking Virginia Tech, 2.5-point favorites over UVA, over under 51. Boomer, can you name this game?
Yes, it's the Commonwealth Cup is what they play for. You know, it's
Commonwealth
state of Virginia. Cup. It's the Commonwealth of Virginia, and they play for the Commonwealth Cup there. So pretty exciting. The game itself, couldn't tell you. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to Vautech or Virginia this year. So, but I'll go with whatever Vegas Deer says.
Vautech has been surprisingly decent this year. I don't know what Vegas Deer sees this in particular, but I might tail him just for the fun of it.
Rob? Yeah, why not? We'll trust him this time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea. I can honestly say I haven't watched a single one of these two teams all season.
Moving on.
I'll take Vegas Jair's word for it.
All right. Here's another one, Boomer. Clemson favored by just a little bit more than a touchdown, 7.5 at South Carolina in Columbia, over under 52. These guys play for what trophy?
It's the Palmetto Trophy, being South Carolina's the Palmetto State.
That's right.
One year they did play for the Hardee's Trophy or Hardee's Cup, I think it was.
They named it for one year?
Yeah, it was a different trophy altogether. It was actually like Hardee's.
Oh, my God.
Spelled the way the fast food joint was, and then they decided that was a stupid idea. And
that's a horrible
the Palmetto Trophy, so, yeah.
Wow.
And it's just a metal palm tree on a stand.
So. Yeah. Exactly
what delivers what it promises. Let's go with that.
Yeah. It's no Land Grant trophy, but
few things are, Dave. So
It's true. We'll get to that soon enough. I mean, Clemson 7.5. They 7-4 now. Rob, you have any thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, we did have one of our writers, Jaden. She left the Greeley Tribune to go to South Carolina and actually be a sports writer for South Carolina Gamecocks. So I think I'm going to just go ahead and I'm just going to call it the Jaden Cup, and she can just go ahead and give South Carolina the win on
that's
this one.
Nice. That? Nice, Rob. All right. You're taking the game.
Well, you know, my expert analysis is as good as your guess. So, you know.
Yeah. Deep cut there. All right. Boomer, Kentucky at Louisville. This could be another one called the Commonwealth Cup. Could it not be? But it's not.
It is the Commonwealth of Kentucky. But unfortunately, they decided not to completely tread on Virginia's ground there. This is just the Governor's Cup, I believe. So.
Right. But, which is a common
quite a few
name.
Of those. Well, governors.
Victory bells and governor cups are everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. Governors just have to work their way in for political reasons. So, yeah. Quite a few governor's cups out there.
I think I like Kentucky here, especially if you can get the 7 or maybe get it at 7.5 if it keeps moving or even by the hook. I think Louisville's going to win the game, but they just came off of a tough game there where they won in the last minutes versus Miami. They're getting ready for the ACC championship game. This is out of conference, doesn't impact any of that. They've had a relatively soft schedule. Kentucky is not world beaters, but they have been battle tested in the SEC. I think the Wildcats are going to make this a close game. Rob, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I agree. They will make it a close game. I still think Louisville either covers or pushes on it. You know, the
7 over. Right?
Yeah, the over. I'll take
the over, though, huh?
I'll take the over on it, yeah.
All right, Boomer. Anything?
Yeah. Well, I think if you're Louisville, you don't want to risk losing this game because that'd be two losses for you. Then if you're going to the ACC title game, that might be three if you go into that, and that drop you way down the bowl slot. So I think if you're Louisville, you got to take this game seriously and you know play to win this thing and you know give yourself that momentum going into that ACC game just to make sure you end up on the right side of bowl selection. So
right, you want to be going to New Year's Six Bowl, no question.
Exactly. So why don't you give me Louisville on this? So worst I can happen is push, I think. It'll be about a 7-point win, give or take a point, I think. So
all right. Florida State minus a starting quarterback, favored for just under a touchdown, 6.5. At Florida in Gainesville, over under at 50. What does Florida State do here? And can they finish the job and get into the ACC title game unscathed?
Oh boy. Yeah,
and is this for the Florida
Cup? Yeah,
Florida Cup.
That's a real banger of a name. Right?
It's like a round robin with Miami too. So it's like
it's pretty much that. And they woke up that morning and oh god, that trophy was due today. Come up with something, in Florida Cup. So that injury with Florida State was just awful to see. But you know, once again, they can't they can't risk losing a game either if, you know, they have playoff interests. So even if they'd win the ACC, if they'd happen to lose this, I think that'd be more than enough to keep them out. So they can't, risk that. So I think Florida State can cover that. This is another 7-point win.
Their second string quarterback, didn't he look pretty good coming in last week? He threw for like a couple hundred yards and a couple
touchdowns. Yeah, but that was against what, Northern Alabama or something like that?
So yeah, it was. But I mean, still, we've seen quarterbacks come in and do much less against teams like that. So, you know what I mean? At least like they've got a guy, you know, hey, you know what? Maybe here we go. A couple of Florida State backups win this week.
All right. I like that.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. I like where we're going.
All right, Boomer. One of my favorite named rivalries of all time. Georgia versus Georgia Tech.
Well, I was just going to say they play for another Governor's Cup trophy. So, you know, which is, you know,
what's the rivalry called?
It was a good old-fashioned hate, I believe.
Good old-fashioned hate. I love that. Yep.
So a lot of ill will there in the state of Georgia. So
yeah, because all the smart kids go to Georgia Tech and don't come play football for Georgia. Is that what it is?
Imagine about Georgia Tech also has a lot different. Not they have less in-state attendance.
I thought you were about to say inbred, but yeah.
No. It's a completely different state, Rob. That one is actually just joking. Yeah. Missouri minus seven at Arkansas.
Speaking of inbred,
over under. Sorry, I didn't hear Missouri. Arkansas, it's just the softball's there. You got to hit it. You know.
Yeah. 54.5. This is like the boot, right?
No, that's Arkansas and LSU. This Louisiana, is the battle line trophy, I think.
The battle line. Sorry. I got
a small trophy with an outline of Missouri and Arkansas, kind of like Conkey wanted our logo to be the Platte County outline. Kind of briefly, back when we first started. But we thought better of that, and these schools haven't yet. So that's the best they could come up with. But Missouri's playing pretty good football, so give me Missouri. They'll cover that. So.
Yeah, Arkansas retaining Sam Pittman. That's kind of interesting. But, I think Mizzou can cover the 7. All right. I think I've heard of this one before. Alabama going to the school called Auburn. Is this an important rivalry game, Boomer? I don't know.
I think so, or at least was once in the day, you know, sometime back in the 1890s or something.
Little-known iron-producing state, Alabama.
Birmingham was a well-noted iron manufacturing center. So Birmingham, I'm sure it tied in with that. So
14.5 over under at 48.5. Rob, taking the Alabama first half cover.
What is the first half cover?
7.5.
Is it? Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said it last week and Bama proved me right. I think the spread that I got Alabama at on the full game and at the half, it was 28.5 was the half.
You found a first half spread last week? I looked all over for it.
I did. Yeah.
Playing Chattanooga.
Yeah. Well, I got it. I got it right. So Alabama came out and scored almost right away. And I was like, oh God, I forgot to look. What was the first half spread? So I tried to get it before it changed.
So you got it live.
And there was nothing there. And then as a live bet, I got 28.5. And by the time that I bet 28.5, literally like 10 seconds afterwards, Alabama scores again. And I was like, oh, this is easy money. And so then I looked to see what the over under on the game was. And it was like 60.5. And I was like, geez, Alabama's going to score that on their own. And they almost did and easily covered. I think it was actually 58.5 was the over under that I got it at live. So yeah, I got in a little bit late on Saturday morning with some of my bets, and
Alabama train is back on the track. Definitely one to ride. All right, let's go back to Vegas, Jerry here, and we're heading into Big Ten country with the land of trophy games and rivalries. Northwestern at Illinois, Fighting Illini -6 over under at 46.5. Vegas, Jerry likes the Wildcats though, and I tend to agree with him here. It seems like a kind of a fishy line personally, considering Northwestern's already bowl eligible. Boomer, what do you think here?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that same thing. I mean, Illinois is playing for a bowl too, and they've kind of improved once they had their, you know, backup quarterback in. And
yeah,
you know, they had chances to beat Iowa last week, and yeah,
sure did. Fell it was right there
for a variety of reasons. You know, Iowa special teams and some crappy pass interference calls that got picked up. You know, there's one in particular.
Who do they think they are, Nebraska? Yeah,
exactly. So, Northwestern is just playing incredible ball this year, considering what everyone expected about him going into this season. And I'm just shocked at what they've been able to do.
This would get him to 7 wins, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, insane. They're looking at 8 if they win a bowl game. Isn't that insane? Yeah. I never.
David Braun going to be the Big Ten Coach of the Year. He's got his.
I'm curious what odds he would have gotten to pick that for Northwestern at the start of the season. If you'd have said, you know, 6 or 7 in the team, you could have made a killing, I think.
Wasn't there over a total Lincoln Trophy, like 2 or 3, Dave?
Yeah, they used to play for a cigar store Indian, which they lost somewhere, which is probably for the best. And then they replaced that with the equally offensive, like Sweet Sue Tomahawk, until the NCAA told them they couldn't do that anymore. So, and now it's the Land of Lincoln Trophy. So it's a brass or bronze stovepipe hat from Lincoln. Yeah. So,
which is not a bad trophy if you're thinking
it, way more sense than the others, you know. Yeah, and much more sensible in today's day and age. So, yeah, why don't you go ahead and give me the Wildcats? When I've counted them out this year, they've proven me wrong every time. So let's give them a shot this week. So
Vegas Jerry,
Northwestern too,
all day long.
All right, we are tailing Vegas Jerry 100% on that one. All right, here it is, Boomer. Penn State 20.5 playing Michigan State at Ford Field. I believe, is that right? Over 43. Don't we actually have an image of this thing somewhere?
We do. I'll put it up right there. There it is. Yep. The Land Grant Trophy. Yep, that is the Land Grant Trophy. That is what they play for. And if that isn't something that, you know, a couple kids glued together the night before the trophy was due, that's.
I mean, it's not even real wood, as far as I can tell. It looks like a laminated shell.
Is Land Grant a person, or is it like?
No, Land Grant is a type of university that's established.
I'm just kidding, Dave.
But no, I don't think you are.
There's nothing holding this together but a few, you know, Allen Ranch nuts and maybe some wood glue.
Well, I was thinking maybe that, you know, somebody named Land Grant made the trophy. So, you
know, it'd be funnier if they did.
That's why it's so bad.
I have no idea. Penn State might be beaten down, but they might cover the 21. Sparty's been feisty, and they did. Didn't Sparty beat Indiana last week for the old brass spittoon?
I believe they did. Yeah.
Old brass spittoon.
Yeah, that's a classic. Speaking of Indiana.
All sorts Indiana of fun stuff you play for in the Big
at
Ten, but
Purdue favored by 3. I have a number in there wrong. Sorry about the edit, guys. Over under at 50.5. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is -3.
It was -2.5 when I saw it last. So perfect. -3 sounds good. Yeah.
The old oaken bucket, correct, Boomer?
That is correct. Yep.
Is there a story behind the old oaken bucket?
Oh, there probably is. Like, you know, most of the Big Ten trophies, it usually involves
like poison water or something like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of poisoning of wells going on back in the day.
You know, it'd be so unlike teams in the old Big Ten to try to cheat and take advantage and, you know, screw the other teams over, you know, and twist some rules to their advantage. So, but yeah, we know that doesn't happen these days, right?
No. It's a clean game now. Exactly. Nothing like that could happen. But, I have no idea on this game whatsoever.
I don't either. Indiana had a nice little streak going until this last week. They lost to Sparty. Hell, give me Purdue if I had to bet on this for no particular reason.
At least Purdue's got a new coach. In Indiana, are they going to fire Tom Allen? I don't know. We'll see.
If you're Indiana, what are you going to do better? I don't know. But yeah.
All right, here we go. Whiskey, now bowl eligible, favored by a little under a field goal at Minnesota, over under 42. This is for the Axe, right?
Paul Bunyan's Axe. Minnesota for bowl eligibility, too. So, yeah, this is kind of a big one. They used to play for a slab of bacon, but they lost that, too. So,
that's great.
Somewhere there's a storage closet with a bunch of old Big Ten trophies that are just sitting around there. So,
I mean, you think maybe it's like a fraternal thing where, like, there's just like, you know, the guy that had like the, wasn't there like a telephone for one of the Nebraska?
It was Missouri was the Bell, like, wasn't it?
Like they're buried somewhere. Like these people that have stolen these trophies, and then they like, the Buffalo that we lost for Colorado, for example, right? And like, there's just like these guys that randomly get together once a year with like stolen trophies.
Yep, and that'd be a great show to do.
Can we go back like just one, because I was so curious about the old oaken whatever the hell it's called. It's the old oaken bucket. So listen, there was a resolution made between alumni from the two schools that an old oaken bucket as the most typical Hoosier form of trophy, that the bucket should be taken from some well in Indiana, and that a chain be to be made of bronze block IMP letters should be provided for the bucket. The school winning the traditional football game each year should have possession of the old oaken bucket, in quotes, until the next game, and should attach the block letter representing the winning school to the bale with the score engraved on the latter link.
Nice. There you go.
There you go. That was in 1925.
I'm curious what sort of committee they had to find this typical Who's Your Old Oaken Bucket.
Right. And it was the Chicago chapters of the Indiana and Purdue alumni organizations. Of course. So there you go. Yeah. They were probably sitting around drinking brandy, smoking cigars, or illegal whiskey or something, you know.
A Wikipedia entrance on the 5 Bits of Broken Chair Trophy 100 years from now.
I'm going to donate $3 to Wikipedia just for that right now because they're asking for it.
There we go. All right, two more.
Yeah, they did actually find the old slab of bacon in a storage closet in Camp Randall. So
shut the front door. Oh, no.
Sure enough, yeah, and they found it in the 90s, yeah. Been there, yeah.
They could exchange both things.
Who was the coach back then? You know, it wasn't Mangini, was it?
No, it would have been Alvarez in the mid-94. Yeah,
it was a joke again, awesome. Mangini.
It'd be Mangino, I believe.
Mangini
was Eric Mangini, the Jets coach.
Same guy.
Not overweight at all, really.
He was a big dude, though, is my point. You know, and a slab of bacon went missing. Yes. So
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The game, Ohio State at Michigan. Vegas Jared likes Michigan to cover the 3 or 3.5. It was 3 when he made that statement. It's now 3.5, I believe, over 146. Thoughts, guys? What do you think?
I've never rooted for Ohio State so hard in my entire life. I don't know if they can do it. I
don't care that much about these. Like, the cheating thing is just, whatever. So
I know, but you should see the conspiracy theories that are coming out now from Michigan fans all week. And it's like getting to the point of being like,
this is why I stay on social media, Rob. Boomer.
Yeah. God. I'm kind of with Rob. I kind of like Ohio State to win, but I think Michigan will win this game. Weird. Now, the funniest result would be in Michigan to win and lose to Iowa in the Big Ten title game. That would be the perfect scenario. Mm-hmm. For
Big Ten purposes, Boomer, what's the better scenario, Michigan or Ohio State losing to get two teams in? What's the most likely? How do you get two teams in?
Well, I think Ohio State's got the better schedule. I think they could possibly slide in with a loss, where I don't know if Michigan could.
Yeah.
What's Michigan's best win? I mean, they haven't really – their non-con was pretty non-existent. And they're, Penn State. If they don't win this game, Penn State would be their best win, and that's kind of faded a little bit too. So, I think that would probably be your best outcome if you're thinking you can get two Big Ten teams in. I don't know if Michigan would sneak in with a loss unless you had some help, you know, with other teams losing. Mm-hmm. Would have one loss Michigan get in over – you know, one loss Alabama and Georgia, probably not. And then you'd have to worry about, you know, the other, you know, you got a Pac-12 team. I don't think it'd get an over one loss Oregon if they'd win the Pac-12 at that point. So, I think that'd be the outcome you'd want if you're trying to get two Big Ten teams in. Is Michigan win, Ohio State plays it close so they don't fall too much and get help in the rest of the conferences. So.
Sure. All right, well, it's going to be interesting. That's a big noon kickoff on Saturday. Well, one last one, guys. Iowa, Nebraska. Nebraska favored by 2.5 in some books now. Over under at 26.5. I've seen it drop to 26. I don't know how low it can go. Boomer, what do you think?
It's 2.5 on FanDuel when I checked, and there are just some fun like side bets you can get to this game if you just want to go crazy. I mean, there's I've seen like a plus 5,000 if both teams score a touchdown on their opening drive. You can get plus 5,000 if both teams score in every quarter. You can get plus 30,000 for both teams to score a touchdown in every quarter. So if you think this is going to go crazy and every team scores, you can get plus
30,000. That'd be hilarious.
I would put $5 on that.
Yeah, might as well. What the hell?
I mean,
The but happening are basically nil, but the over under in this just exceeded my.
No, the odds of it happening are plus 30,000. Boomer, the odds of it happening are plus 30,000.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yes. But the over under in this just exceeded every.
You saw that on FanDuel?
But
because I don't.
Really Again, I can't bet on this game because it's at home. But yeah, I'm giving the Huskers. Why not? We're bound to win one of these. I've lost the last 3 weeks, so why not again?
That's right. I'm going to say.
Yeah, honestly, I think the Nebraska money line.
You might as well at that point. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
So, over under? Yeah. Are they going to? And even 26 and a half, you're tempted to take the under on that, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Do you think it'll go lower before game time? I mean, I think we'll get that down to 26, 25 and a half.
Boy, I think it's going to kind of settle right here because there'll be a bunch of amateur bettors just betting it for the fun of it and say they tried to bet the under at 26 or whatever, but there'll be enough sharps propping it back up. It's just the odds are of it staying that low at some point, right? You know, so I don't know. I mean, Iowa, Illinois last week closed at 32.5. I bet it at like 30.5 earlier in the week, thinking it would go down. It actually went up. But what was the final score? It hit the under, right? 15-13. It was right down to the last end there. And Iowa could have maybe tacked on more points, or Illinois could have, scored and would have put it over, but 28. So I think it'll come down to a special teams or defensive score to drive this over, though. I mean, if it was left up to the offenses, the 26.5 would probably hit the under. That's my take. All right, guys. Well, that was a fun bet cast. Covered the Heroes Trophy, right, Boomer?
Yes, it is. It's one of the more boring trophies, committee approved and stamped by a bunch of corporations. It's just, yeah, not organic like the old oaken buckets or slabs of bacon or the $5 bits of broken chair. It's just, you can do better, Big Ten.
In this era of like social media and all this type of stuff, why is it so hard for these universities and conferences to figure out that to make a trophy mean something, it needs to be fun? You know what I'm saying? Like, it has
doesn't always come with corporate sponsorships, Dave. And that's really what it's all about these days.
So. No. Does Hy-Vee still sponsor this one?
Yes, they do. Yeah. No offense to Hy-Vee. I love shopping there. No. But yeah, you can do better than this. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
$5 bits of Hy-Vee
Heroes
there.
Heroes Trophy.
Sponsorship awaits.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys. Great. All right. Anything else? Any games I missed?
No, there's should be a fun last weekend of the season. So,
hour and 10 minutes, we're doing this.
Boom! Let's get out of here. Parting shots, Rob. Take it away.
All right. First, I'd just like to remind everyone that if you are looking for some kind of nostalgic and Nebraska Huskers gift, you can go to one of the two locations for Alumni Hall. One is at the South Point Pavilions on the south side of Barnes & Noble, and the other is on P Street in downtown Lincoln, and they have all kinds of awesome Black Friday deals coming up. Get on their email list. Check it out. Friday morning, I'll be making the decision. I'm either putting up Christmas or I'm going to watch football. We'll see. We'll have to see how the wife feels about that one. I did start putting up Christmas early as a – you know, I've got a little bit of time on my hands now between jobs. So, you know, I'm good weather. Yeah. So we'll just, you know, although it may be snowing on Friday here in Colorado, as it works its way towards Nebraska on Saturday. So anyway, I hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy whatever it is that you like to do on that holiday. Spend time with family, spend time alone, you know, go out to Chinese food, whatever it is you do. Go Big Red.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Boomer, get us out of here.
I'm just going to be a glutton on Thanksgiving, so that's fine. You know, we'll make that work. And I just want to give a shout out to Nebraska women's soccer. You know, making a heck of a run here in the postseason, playing in the Elite Eight against Stanford, you know, on Friday. So, you know, there's plenty to play for outside of Husker football that day. So, yeah, definitely.
Volleyball's on it.
Volleyball's on
three, and soccer's on four.
It's not just a one sport weekend here, folks. It's a good holiday weekend for Husker sports, and especially the Husker women. And they're certainly a
soccer match at Stanford.
It's at Stanford. Yeah, the prior two games were here in Lincoln, so they kind of had a good run in the postseason, you know, here at home. But yeah, they're playing number three Stanford. I think Stanford's number three, if I remember right. But so heck of a run for women's soccer. Let's see if they can keep that going. So why not?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Well, great final regular season show. Hopefully we'll be doing a bowl show here in the not too distant future. Let's cross our fingers and see if those guys can can get us to Las Vegas or Phoenix or the Detroit. Motor City. I don't care. Just give me a bowl game, guys. Anything. Anything. All right, guys. It was a fun one. Let's call that another Go Big Red Cast.
Go Big Red.
Herd At Sports Network production.